Should Prince Damon lose his place in succession for the heir for a day crack? Should King Viserys have killed the maester who implied that the child might live if they killed the wife during the pregnancy?
Do you stop fornicating if your boss starts giving a speech in the middle of that fornicating?
We'll answer all those questions and more on this week's episode of
The Joffrey of Podcasts.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
I am
King.
I am
Kiss it.
I am
Kiss it again when I return.
Your fingers or your
King doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the King. I'm telling Mother.
Oh. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish, always in sync, Bubba, as we are, and we are back, and older than ever.
Heck yeah. We're going to be breaking down House of the Dragon, Season 1, Episode 1, The Heirs of the Dragon.
Ooh.
If you are new, somehow new, to the Joffrey of Podcast, we covered all of Game of Thrones with our tongues firmly in each other's cheek.
Whoa.
We'll be doing the same for House of the Dragon.
Damn, whether we could have been in the background of that scene. Yes, go ahead.
Whether you're a new Double L? Loyal listener or a returning loyal listener, we're going to have a fun way, new way that we've never done before. We're going to try it out for you to join in with us after each episode. So
what?
On Twitter. We're going to put out a couple of match game questions per episode.
Okay.
And we want to see if your answer matches our answer. Do you think they can do it, Catfish?
Bubba, I completely believe in both our returning loyal listeners and our new loyal listeners.
Hey, so let's try a match game right now. So listeners, I want you to think of the answer you've got.
Okay.
In this first episode, and we're spoiling this first episode of House of the Dragon, Aegon the Conqueror decided to invade Westeros because he had a double D.
Double D?
Dragon Dream, a prophetic dream of an epic battle against the evil, against the death, against the White Walkers, which occurred in the last season of Game of Thrones.
Spoiler alert!
So we know one thing about Aegon's dream. It was blank.
Ooh.
Boom, ba boom, 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 ba boom, 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 ba boom, 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 boom. All right, listeners, come up with your answer. Tweet it to us at DoublePHQ. That's the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, YouTube. Go ahead and leave your match game answer in the bottom. So, Catfish, we know one thing about Aegon's dream. It was
a result of some bad eel pie.
Ooh, do we have a match?
All right, Bubba.
Yeah.
So we know one thing. Aegon's dream was
set to the correct brightness level because he was able to see the battle against the White Walkers, unlike most of us.
Oh, man. I think, yeah. I think you definitely got 300 to 400 matches on that one.
Excellent. Hey, we're going to be playing these match games all season long, and we're going to have a couple more in this podcast. It's just some light fun for you guys to join with us. Hey, and we need to talk a bit about how we're going to cover this show, because while we're talking about House of the Dragon as a TV show, and only as a TV show, so Catfish might say something like,
you know, I think Prince Damon is totally going to get busy with his niece, Prince Rhaenyra.
Now, even though anybody, and I mean anybody, can go on Wikipedia and find out if Prince Damon is going to get busy with his niece, Prince Rhaenyra, or not, we're going to approach House of the Dragon as a TV show and try not to spoil it. Now, once again, my name's Bubba. I've read the novel Fire and Blood, which this TV show covers. I've read the novella The Princess and the Queen. I didn't read the other novella about this story, The Rogue Prince, but I know all of it.
I mean, you think you know, Bubba.
That's true.
You know what? I mean, they can do whatever they want. We can see how good it is when showrunners go out on their own and develop new storyline. People love that. They have... I mean, you know, they may do this differently.
Now, Catfish, what about you in books?
I haven't read any of the books, so I come to it new as a fresh babe, except for while you're talking next, I'm going to go to Wikipedia and find out the answers. No, I don't care about the answers. I'm going to talk about what it is, and one of the things we're going to talk about is the undeniable sexual chemistry.
Oh, here we go.
My daughter, my niece,
yes,
is a very beautiful woman. Very beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Political commentary already here. Listeners, we hope you're up for some silly fun, even though this show is incredibly, covers some really tense, tough moments, moments where you don't want your eyes to meet the screen. We're still going to try to keep it light and fun because this is fiction. These aren't real people. This didn't happen to these characters this way. So
also, we're going to keep the spirit of the Joffrey of podcast.
Amen.
So just so you know where we come from, not only we're going to break this down, show down seriously, but we're also going to continue to make connections to the greatest fictional or real character in the history of the world, the cosmos, Prince Joffrey Baratheon.
Heck yeah. First of his name, first in your hearts.
Yep.
Well, we've got a lot of preamble out of the way, Catfish. Let's get to it right up top.
Okay, let's do it.
What is your rating out of 10 for this first episode, The Heirs of the Dragon of House of the Dragon?
I'm going to give this 8 what I like to call double eyes.
Wait, double eyes?
Yeah, double eyes is when you're watching a show set in the Game of Thrones world and you catch a glance between two characters who are related and you're like, inevitable incest.
Shameful.
So, as you said, this is a new world to me. Not a new world, but it's a completely new setting, time period that I know nothing about. I found this more accessible than the Game of Thrones pilot was to people who had not read the Game of Thrones books. So, for people who hadn't read the Game of Thrones books, and I had, they were like, oh my God, what's going on? It's confusing. There's so many stuff. I think for better or for worse, it has less characters with competing agendas. You know, I think that, you know, we talked about this a little bit after we went and saw the preview. I think there are, you know, people forget some of their favorite characters, Littlefinger, et cetera, did not show up until later seasons of Game of Thrones. So while this is a much smaller universe, I was able to connect into it sooner. The question is whether it's going to have the staying power, whether it's going to add more of the kind of devious characters that we love. I mean, we are seeing some very, very questionable choices. Many that are involved with women. This is interesting after Game of Thrones caught a lot of flack for the way it treated women not having agency on that show. There are a couple egregious episodes of that in this first episode. Yes. So I wonder how our female double L's are going to respond to that, if they're going to be frustrated, this is more the same, or whether it's not going to bother them as much. So that's my feeling. Nobody cares about my opinion, Bubba. They're all here for you. B comes before C, Bubba before Catfish. What was your rating on the pilot episode?
Well, Catfish, you went 8 out of 10. I think that's a pretty nice rating for a pilot, for a first episode of a television show.
I didn't
go quite as high. Mm-hmm. I went 7 double Cs out of 10.
Double C, yeah. Wait, double Cs?
Yes, double Cs is for complicated C-sections.
Oh, God.
This was... Oh. I kind of hinted at this on our preview podcast. We saw this episode about 3.5 weeks ago before it premiered, and I was not engaged for probably the first 40 minutes of this episode. But suddenly, when this horrific, horrific C-section, I mean, pregnancy fail happened, I was so engaged, I was so engrossed, I couldn't happen. Once again, for those first 40 minutes, I could tell the show looked beautiful. They spent millions on this. But I wasn't emotionally engaged.
Okay.
And in fact, for the first 40 minutes, when I could kind of tell, ooh, this is about a battle for the Iron Throne, me, a big Game of Thrones fan, was thinking, haven't we already done this? But then this horrific choice that the king makes to give up his wife's life so he can have this imaginary son he thinks he's going to have, it pulled me in. It was such a tragedy. It was so terrible. I was pulled in. And then for the rest of the episode, I was all in. I thought, okay, this is engaging. This is great. Now, one thing I've mentioned on that preview podcast, I'm not sure outside of Prince Damon, the Matt Smith character, any of these characters in this first episode, and it is just the first episode, but I'm not sure any of these characters really engaged me or connected with me. And I know that Princess Rhaenyra should connect with me. She's a young rebellious girl who wants to ride her dragon. And you would think, oh, here's this kid who's almost like a young Arya Stark. And they made this actress read scenes from Arya Stark for her audition. But I have to be honest, I found Princess Rhaenyra a bit cold. And I found a lot of the characters cold. But again, once this terrible birthing scene happened, where I couldn't even look at the screen, it was so visceral and painful, I did get engaged. And so 7 out of 10, again, for a first episode, I think that's pretty good.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll just leave it to our listeners to decide what kind of human being you are, that you're not enraptured until there's a bloody death of a character. So there you go. I mean, it's not the Joffrey podcast for nothing.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
we're putting out this podcast, and we did put out a preview podcast, but we really don't know how people feel going in because we've kind of paused our podcast on the Joffrey podcast feeds until this new show came out. And so on our social media, I decided to ask you fans, I was like, the successor show to Game of Thrones begins on Sunday, August 21st. How excited are you for a return to Westeros? I put the poll first out on our YouTube page, which you can find at youtube.com/C, that's for channel, /DoublePMedia. And we got, it's really only got 155 votes so far, but it's pretty evenly split. Who's excited, you know, red hot Dragonfire excitement? Only 30% said they were.
Okay.
How many people described their excitement or interest as warm? 19%. But then cool interest and frozen interest, meaning they have ice cold White Walker winter of discontentment, another 24% on that. So that's pretty evenly split. What do you think about those poll results, Catfish?
Well, you know, it has been quite a while. There was the letdown, and it's been quite a while since there was the last Game of Thrones. I think as far as the heavy-duty fandom, they'll be into it. But another thing that's happened is, you know, we've appeared at a couple of Game of Thrones conventions. They haven't had those because of COVID. And so to me, it feels like even though they've been advertising the heck out of it, it's just like, I just don't feel the forward momentum. Maybe if it was like a year after, et cetera. I mean, it is weird. They had time. Did they not just want to spend the money? They dithered around as far as doing other pilots and then, you know, waiting around. So I can understand why it's not that exciting.
Well, 30%, if you got 30% of Game of Thrones final season audience, you'd still have the number one show on television because you'd have close to 7 million people watching. So
right. And you'd have more than the people that were watching the original Game of Thrones until
when it premiered. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did think that perhaps, well, maybe our YouTube audience is made up of only Murders in the Building fans because we've been covering that on YouTube recently. So I put out the poll on our Twitter account, which we got most of our followers from the Joffrey podcast, and asked the same question. How excited are you to return to Westeros? On Twitter, and we just did that this morning, there are only 70 votes, but still an interesting split. We have 47% say they're red hot with excitement for the new show.
Okay.
13% said warm, 4% said cool, but then a whopping 36%
said
frozen. So once again, you got 47 red hot, bring it back, and 36 saying, I'm not interested.
Well, you know, Bubba, this, again, as we said, you know, Game of Thrones became such a huge thing, the series itself. If this one starts out slow but accelerates and starts getting some cool water talk to it, white water talk, then people will eventually catch up to it.
That's what we hope. We want you guys to be on us with this journey. Please subscribe. And follow us on social media. We love interacting with you guys, with our match games, and with everything. So please, at DoublePHQ, talk to us. We've got one other way that we're going to try. We're going to try it out.
Let's
see how it goes. let's try it to see about interaction with you LL loyal listeners. And that is, there's a service called Stream Lounge. Now, a lot of people may be familiar with a two-screen experience where you watch the show on one screen and then talk to friends or chat with friends on a second screen. What's great about Stream Lounge is they've combined that to a one-screen experience where you can chat with us and laugh with us while watching the show. And so it's Stream Lounge. Google it. And we're going to try that this coming Thursday night, August 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to try to have a group call where you guys can watch this first episode with us. So go.
Love it.
Just search for Stream Lounge on Google and or follow our social media accounts. We're going to be sending it out. We're going to test it out. Hopefully you guys like it. We'll do it all season long. If not, hey, we gave it a try. It was good.
Value added. We're always, like Prince Damon, we're always trying to find ways we can touch those that we love more.
All right, so let's dive into this episode, Catfish, and let's dive into the end, because this was a big thing at the screening we went to, the world red carpet premiere of this show, and that is something that comes up right at the end. I called it George R. R. Martin's midichlorians, and it's the thing we teased at the top. Aegon attacked Westeros due to this dragon dream, and it seems this is a secret prophecy passed down from king to heir, because King Viserys, when he decides Princess Rhaenyra is going to be his heir, he pulls her in and he tells her that this thing. And it does tie directly to Daenerys and Jon Snow and the end of the other series. What do you think about this, in some ways, world-shattering reveal?
Well, Bubba, now I said I liked this episode from the beginning. I didn't mind it being slow. I needed to catch up all the characters. I didn't need things to snap. To crackle for me right away. You know, I did just one more thought on that. I mean, for Game of Thrones, when I watched the first episode, I had all these characters in my head. So I had filled in a lot of the backstory. So that's why I felt like I was engaged more in that story. So nonetheless, to show that maybe I wasn't so engaged, or I'm just the kind of dude who thinks particular things when I'm watching a show, always looking for something wrong. When the King Viserys says to Rhaenyra, you know, he tells her the information and that all the heirs have gotten this information, I thought to myself, it is not possible that for hundreds of years, someone did not die before telling this information to their heir. You know, a hunting accident, anything. It's not written down. I can't believe. Or what's the other thing? What if it's like a game of telephone, right? And the first person said, you know, it's going to get really hot. And we need to go down there and cool things off with our dragons. And then by the time it gets down to Rhaenyra, it's this whole crazy thing. All right. So besides that, you know, you're always, Bubba, you're particularly complaining, but I always give you credit for this. It's when you set up a show, you got to tell us exactly what people want so we can see what they're doing to get it, where they're succeeding in that, where they're failing in that, give us real stakes. So this does give us stakes, but on the other hand, it gives us stakes for why they're going to go after the rest of the kingdom, in which case I don't care about that, because the White Walkers, that saga has concluded already and they've been defeated. Mm-hmm. So is this a story about a fight for succession for the Targaryens, or is this a story about how the Targaryens are going to take over the kingdom to stop something that we've already seen be stopped? And if it's the latter, I'm less interested in it. So on the whole, I know some people are like, oh, this is a retcon, this is whatever. I don't care whether it's a retcon or not, because to me, doesn't make me more interested in this story. It's leading to a story we've already seen. So, Bubba, what are your feelings about this?
Your last sentence described my feelings perfectly. It's about a story we've already seen, and we want to be engaged in this new story.
Right.
And so when it happened in the episode, I didn't like it. Now, after the episode, I really got to thinking about it. I thought, well, okay, maybe in hindsight, this gives motivation to why somebody like King Viserys would say, my wife, who I love, yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can save the son. I need to save the son because there's this prophetic dream. There's this vision that we have that we need to fulfill. I need that sun. And so I guess I understand that could be why you would have this. It's like, oh, why did he make this terrible choice? Well, he made this terrible choice because he's following this kind of secret that he's been told, this kind of destiny he's been told he has to do. Now, I personally think we didn't need it. Like, just watching him make that choice in the show was horrific enough.
Right.
But I do think this is from George R. R. Martin. I'm pretty sure George R. R. Martin kind of spoiled it and said it was from him recently in an interview. I don't think we needed it. I know that it does kind of give some motivation way back, you know, to the original show, about before the original show happened. We know that Prince Rhaegar put down his books and took up a sword. Why did he do it? Well, he probably was told this destiny thing. Why did he feel like he had to, you know, run off with Lyanna Stark and leave his wife behind? Well, you know, maybe it's just a destiny thing. And so I'm right. Fine with it. I didn't
still,
like it at
feels
the time,
like but, it's like a footnote, a backfill of information. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't bother me if it wasn't set up at the end of this episode, like, oh, this is the big moving us forward reveal, mm-hmm. because then it makes it seem like this is the point of this series to lead to a series again that is already done. So
listeners, we've had our piece. Mm-hmm. You now know the secret that came out at that world premiere back at the end of July. Write to us on social media. Tell us how you feel at Double PHQ. YouTube, write down in the comments how you feel. Everybody, we want to know your opinion. And we want you to now return with us to the silly part of this podcast.
Let's
have another match game. You ready?
Okay, let's do it.
King Viserys says, last night while I mourned the death of my wife and my son, brother, did you get drunk in a brothel and call my deceased son heir for a day? Prince Daemon responded, yes, but I didn't just call him that. I also called him blank.
All right, just feed me the last part again.
Prince Daemon said, yes, but I didn't just call him that. I also called him blank.
Meemaw. Now, I don't know why that's strange. That's like a southern grandma. But, you know, I think it's
air
just,
for a day, meemaw.
air for a day, meemaw. Yeah. Meemaw, air for a day. All right, Bubba, I will read the last line to you again. Let's see what you've got. Prince Daemon, yes, but not only that, I also called him blank.
A snuffed flame. They're all dragons. They called him a snuffed flame.
Oh,
listeners, did you
got
match
it.
Us? Did you match us on these match games? At Double PHQ, tell us your answer to these questions. I not only called him that, I also called him and give us your answer. You feel free to be as ridiculously terrible as we are in your answers.
Yeah, or try to be good. You can go to a complete 180. All right, Bubba.
Yeah.
What was your, let's start with you. You've got lots of ideas here. Okay. So, you know, Game of Thrones, what was good about Game of Thrones, they had a lot of shocking scenes. My God, did you see that? We got the red wedding. You know what I mean? It just goes on and on. So even though I only mentioned one thing, it goes on and on. So.
Yeah.
Bubba, was there a scene from this episode where you're like, holy cow, that is a memorable, strong scene?
Well, there were a bunch of little ones. Like the episode begins with a voiceover telling us, oh, you know, about the setting up the show. And then there's that text on the screen that is explaining this is hundreds of years before Daenerys. And that kind of shocked me, but that was a little shock. There was a really shocking scene where after the queen has died, Otto Hightower, Hand of the King, tells his daughter, make your move on the king tonight and wear one of your mother's dresses.
Holy cow. That is one of the questionable decisions that we talked about. Questionable being in quotes. Okay, Bubba, that was good stuff. That was really good stuff. But for
me, the strongest one was the birthing tragedy. I could not look at the screen. And I don't think I'm too squeamish, but the blood and I knew, you know, I think even if you haven't read the book, you can tell that this is not going to end well. And so I was like looking down at the floor. It was just so strong and so powerful. And once again, it got me engaged in this show where I'd been a little cool to it beforehand. So that to me was the greatest scene. How about you?
I thought great. I don't know if you'd say great, but that is for sure a amazingly memorable scene. You're right. Not having read the book, you know, he's like, I'm going to go ahead with the celebration for the birth of my son.
Right.
Yeah. Without knowing whether he's going to come, you know, it's going to go bad. And that scene was, like you said, I'm watched a lot of horror movies. I'm not squeamish, but just the reality of that scene was amazing. So again, that is the strongest scene. But what I thought they do really in a kind of a subtle way is, you know, the baby like coughs a little or something. And then the next time we see it, it's wrapped up. So you're like, holy cow, all of that for nothing. It's a real gut punch. So they really overplayed, you know, again, if I was a woman, I might have a lot of time. They're like, I might have a lot of problems with this. They're like, okay, let's show the gory, horrible death of the mother, the male child. He dies off screen.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, just so powerful. Any other, you know, I mentioned a couple of little scenes that were shocking. Any other little scene that you either loved or you really got engaged with? I mean, there was Prince Damon sending the gold cloaks out to pretty much mutilate people, criminals.
Beat the crap out of people. I mean, all my favorite scenes, besides that one as being memorable, are going to include Prince Damon. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it because we have Match Game 3, which is a question about really my favorite moment.
Okay. Where
Damon has something important to say. So here it is. Match Game 3. Prepare your answers.
Here we go.
Okay. Yeah. Horny Henry was so horny.
How horny was he?
When his boss Damon was giving an important speech, Henry kept blank.
Boom, 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 boom. Listeners, we really do want you to answer these. We really do want you to have fun with us.
Yeah, come up with an answer.
So give it to me one more time, and I'll see if I got an answer.
All
this
right.
is a tough
one. Okay, you don't have to repeat it this time. Horny Henry was so horny, when his boss Damon was giving an important speech, Henry kept...
Blank. Yelling whoopee and making whoopee.
Oh, man. You know what? You totally beat me here because we're not doing the Alec Baldwin shoot 'em up match game. We're doing match game 75 and Whoopi was very big. All right. Give it to me.
When his boss Damon was giving an important speech, Horny Henry kept
polishing his sword.
Oh, terrible. So, okay. There was that scene in the brothel and,
oh my God,
it was hilarious. It was fun. Yeah. A lot of nudity. Hey, we're still in an adult content show here, but it was fun. I laughed. I think a lot of people there at the premiere laughed.
Yeah, that was it. That was a very funny moment. You know, we needed some of that. We could use a little bit more. There's never anything wrong with doing some comedy to lighten things up a little bit, especially when women and children are being mutilated.
Oh, yeah. Listeners, once again, we're trying to have fun, and we need you to join with us. Send us some match game questions. If you come up with a question, and also send us your match game answers. If you matched us, number one, I feel sorry for you, but I also I'm glad you're playing along. Catfish, because this is a premiere, let's dive in and talk about some of the characters. One of the main characters of this show is the king, Paddy Considine, excuse me, as King Viserys Targaryen. He seems, until that terrible birthing scene, he seems like a okay guy. He didn't mind people almost insulting him at the tournament where the guy's like, I want to gain the honor and favor of the queen who never was, calling out his cousin who could have been the ruler instead of him. And he's like, it's fine. Let him say. It's no big deal. he does love his brother, and he's real soft on his brother. His brother
super
can get up
soft on him
until he hears the story about what happened in the brothel, and then he has the terrible call with his wife in labor. Any thoughts about the king? Did you like him? Do you like the actor?
Terrible call. Well, you know, Bubba, here's another point. If they got to get over there and take care of the kingdom to take care of the White Walkers, do they know when's this going to happen? Is there a reason why he's just chilling and not doing it himself? Is he lazy? What's the deal? He's like, let the next guy take care of this.
My son, I got to have a son. He'll take care of it. Let's party at the tourney, everybody.
Love it.
I like this actor a lot. I've loved him in a million things. What's funny is the most recent thing I think of him in was that Stephen King horror movie that HBO did as a short series. But I love him, and he seemed great. And then his terrible call with his wife, his tragic call with his wife, obviously that's the wrong call, but it did make me empathize with somebody who lost everything on a wrong call. And so I did like the king.
Yeah, he does indeed seem like a good dude up to a certain point.
Well, okay, let's go with his brother, Prince Daemon Targaryen. We talked about this when we did our non-spoiler take on the premiere. Matt Smith and Daemon, they just pop when he's on screen.
Oh my God.
He is a firecracker. And he is great. Would you, how about this? Should you still leave him as your heir, even if he pops off? I don't think so. I don't think this guy should even be in charge of the gold cloaks with his, hey, you think there's thievery? You can't steal when you don't have hands, suckers. But that
you
said,
know what,
as
you
a
know
viewer,
what,
yeah. It's great to watch him.
You know what's interesting about him, too, is, you know, this remains to be seen, but at least from the first episode, he does really seem to care in what we would think would be an inappropriate way about his niece, at the same time that he is sort of undermining his brother a little bit. So yeah. It seems as if he would not go against his niece. So that's going to be interesting in the coming episodes to see. So there's a good contrast there. And I think he really seems to care about her.
Well, how about this? It mm-hmm. almost seems, even though his behavior at times is incompletely terrible, but it also seems like Daemon really does care about his brother. It's not like he's, you know, oh, I'll just kill my brother and take the throne. It seems like there is some push-pull family love there as well. Maybe I'm reading something that isn't on screen, but that's the way I took it.
No, I agree with it. He is not a full-on villain as we had kind of come to understand it in Game of Thrones. So you know, so far, this is that's kind of what makes him fascinating.
Okay, we have a couple other characters who don't get too much to do in this first episode, but they are there. They are presence, and that's Lord Corlys Velaryon, the Sea Snake. He's on the small council. He complains about these people these pirates, I think he says, on islands who are disrupting the ship lanes. And he's also somebody, when Otto Hightower says, we got to talk about your heir, he's one of the first ones to say, hey, King, you have an heir. It's your brother, Prince Daemon. He is married to the queen who never was, Princess Rhaenys. And she really isn't in the episode too much, but you certainly must assume that, hey, I could have been ruler and they ended up giving it to my cousin Viserys. You realize she must have a lot to do. Any thoughts about the two of them?
Kind of remains to be seen what they're going to do there. They don't seem to be kind of plotting too much, but which is funny because, as you say, Viserys doesn't seem like he's a rule with an iron fist kind of guy.
No.
So the fact that nobody has sort of undermined him much, I mean, is his name Patty or Patsy? It is a little bit surprising considering how, you know, the cruel reputation of these guys. But, you know, like I said, maybe we should just call him the last chill Targaryen.
I like it. Prince Viserys, ice chill. Let's get to a character who doesn't seem exactly chill, but I don't know if you'd call him a truly evil person yet, but that's the Hand of the King, Otto Hightower. Now, he is very strict. He obviously does not like Prince Daemon at all. He talks terribly behind him, behind his back, and to the prince's face, he talks relatively negative about him. And as I mentioned earlier, his kind of big highlight, if there is such a thing, is he sends his daughter to go comfort the king her mother's dress. So now, when this actor was auditioning, he was auditioning using Tywin Lannister scenes. Now, Tywin, we saw in Game of Thrones as Hand of the King for season 3 and season 4. Any thoughts on Otto Hightower as a character? And I love this actor as well, too. But what do you think?
I would not have where I can see the similarity between Arya and Rhaenyra. I don't see Otto Hightower in that same kind of position as I saw Tywin Lannister. Now, he is a little bit serious and dour. These are the kind of people you need to have as the Hand, and that's why, you know, these people don't usually make it to retirement.
Did you like him? Are you engaged?
No, I respected him. Once again, I think even the most serious people sometimes have a little bit of humor to them. Show me a little bit more. Maybe, you know, I feel like sometimes too, and I don't know whether this is choice or whatever, sometimes too, actors who are known for more kind of comedic things are really afraid to show any comedy because they think it will not show. It will show that they don't have dramatic chops when everyone knows it's harder to do comedy than drama. So there you go.
We'll skip over a couple of characters who have smaller parts in this first episode. There's Prince Daemon's concubine. Is that how you would call her? Mysyria, from the brothel there, and who he takes with him as he leaves at the end of the episode. There's also a new knight in town, Sir Criston Cole, who wins the tourney against Prince Daemon. He also, to win that tourney, hit Prince Daemon when his back was turned. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but there's the two of them. But then I think we do need to get to these two young actresses who handle Prince Rhaenyra and Alison Hightower, her bestie friend there. They were both at the premiere. They're both lovely in person. What did you think of Rhaenyra and or Alicent, these two young friends who, what happens when your best friend starts seducing your dad, your widowed dad? What do you think? Oh my goodness.
I mean, you know, maybe it's just because everything was supercharged.
Yeah.
I wondered about their friendship as well. I don't know what's going on here. I'm just shipping everybody on this show.
Heck yeah,
I thought they were both great. I think Rhaenyra doesn't have as much personality as Arya. I don't think they wanted to do a carbon copy of Arya. Mm-hmm. But once again, I could see maybe a little bit more playfulness from her. You know, I feel like we saw that in Arya.
Right.
You know, kind of more tomboyish and like, I'm going to get the best of you.
Oh, yeah. Very playful. You know, she had those cute moments in the second episode of Game of Thrones where she's like, Nymeria, the direwolf, fetch my gloves. And the dog doesn't move. And she's like, fetch my gloves. Well, she did it before you came here. You know, like there's a lot of fun things with her. And it's not that I didn't like either of these actors or either of these characters. I should really say that again, these characters who I was a bit cold on, but I didn't necessarily fall in love with them. I really want to give a shout out to Emily Carey, who plays Alison Hightower, when she has to go into and see the king.
Mm.
And this is a king who just, you know, lost his wife, lost his son, saw them burned up by dragonfire. I thought the way it was written and the way she tried to emotionally connect with the king, I thought, and the way she performed it, I thought that was a really strong scene. And
it made me
realize, okay, that she could gain his interest.
Well, also, yes, it was tense because I thought, what is he going to do?
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, she kind of disarmed him by just reading. And I thought that was good. Thank God. Please just give me a couple episodes where we don't have young women with like 50-year-old dudes. Just give me a couple and then you can give me some. Jeez.
Okay.
Now, Bubba, what about this? Yeah. Now, you know, your favorites have always been the dirty old maesters. What did you think about the Grand Maester here?
Well, I thought, you know, I thought, and we're going to talk about it a bit later, is I thought, dude, why are you pitching this idea to the king? Dude, shut up. You know, currently you don't have any, you know, this, of course, factually incorrect. I'm like, you have no blood on your hands. But when he pitches this idea, you know, the maester is in Old Town. We've been trying this new technique where you can save the child by cutting the mother open. Of course, she's going to lose so much blood. Yeah. So I didn't remember this part of the story. So I thought, this guy is going to get himself killed. You know, it was his advice. Now, admittedly, the king had to take it, but it was his advice saying, you know, if we try this, we could probably save the boy. And so I have no thoughts on the actor or the character other than, you damn idiot.
Continuing the tradition of the bubbling maester, these guys are supposed to be the pros. Aren't any of them responsible?
Before we get to our small council debate, Catfish, do you want to talk at all about the look of the show, about the effects of the dragon? Anything else really jump out at grabbed you?
I thought the dragons looked better. I just love the, of course, you got the dragon handlers, of course. So I thought
that's, man, that's got to be good. A terrible job. I'm like, you know, she gets to drop off the dragon and like, yeah, you guys put it back in the cage. I'm like, lady, you put this dragon away. I'm not going near this thing.
Holy cow.
How do you even feed dragons? I mean, do you know how much livestock or whatever sheep, you would go through? I mean, you couldn't live. There's the amount of sheep a dragon must eat in a day. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you got to keep them well stocked. And also, you know, if they're unhoused people.
Right. Population control.
Holy cow. Holy cow. You know, this reminds me, Bubba. Yeah. Just a quick thing. I already tweeted out, but I mean, listen, here's the question. Prince Joffrey, is he the best Targaryen? Okay. Product of incest.
Check.
Very cruel. Amazingly, awesomely cruel.
Check.
And then there was the third thing, which I can't remember now.
So he has all the Targaryen traits to be the best Targaryen.
He should be the best Targaryen. Oh, and he's blonde.
Hey, there you go.
There it is. All right. So that's not our small council debate, though. We have many small council debates tonight. A lot going on in this episode, Bubba. Yeah. All right. So why don't you introduce the first one?
All rise. We have the case of, should Prince Daemon lose his place in succession for making a crack air for a day about the dead would-be king's son? Was it right to kick him out and no longer have him be the heir? Catfish, what do you think?
I think if you're not going to kick him out for all the other stuff he was doing, why kick him out for air for a day? He was, first of all, technically right. And he might have been exaggerating. He could have said air for 8 hours, 4 hours. It was definitely less than a day. I say no. He should not lose his place in succession for that.
Your Honor, I want that bit read back to me of terrible counsel by Catfish. He has to. Listen, you can do a lot of things to criminals. You can torture criminals in My King's Landing. You can ignore your wife, hey, whatever, in King's Landing. But when I'm in mourning, on the night when I saw my wife and son roasted in effigy by a dragon, and you get drunk at a brothel and start making quips like your Carrot Top.
Hey, sorry. Everybody grieves in their own way.
Right. And I'm going to grieve by removing your line of succession, by removing your future employment. You're my brother, and family can hurt each other more than anything. But you don't joke about my dead wife. Certainly not on the day of her funeral.
It really feels like it wasn't a joke. It was just a factual statement. All right. Okay. So we'll let our listeners you decide whether Bubba is right and that the king should be so weak that he should allow this one thing to let him go, or whether Catfish is right. And, you know, stick around. Thank you for being honest. All right, here's our next small council debate. Should, all rise. Yeah. Oh, this is the case of whether King Viserys should have killed the maester who implied that his son might survive the birth, but the wife would not. Bubba, Honorable Bubba.
Your Honor, we've all heard the phrase, kill the messenger. Well, I say, kill everybody. Everybody who gives you bad advice. Kill him. You are the king. You are the king's justice. If you give me bad advice and it results in my wife's death, in my son's death, it's going to result in a third death. Can you guess who? Yours. You are not just any old maester. You are the grand maester. You're supposed to be the smartest of the smart. And when you make a bet, like betting that the Jaguars are going to the Super Bowl, and it turns out completely wrong, Urban Meyer, like Urban Meyer, off with your head. You gotta kill him. That's my thought.
All right. My opinion is this, and it goes forward just in a very straightforward way. He presented the options to the king. The king makes the decision. You know, when people are upset, who do they go after? They go after the king. They don't storm the Capitol and go after the vice king and try to hang him in effigy. Whoa. They go after the king.
Wait, they don't go after the vice king?
They don't go after the vice king.
Okay. Hang Maester. Hold on. Hang Maester Mellos. Hang Maester Mellos.
All right. So, listeners, right, once listeners. Again, this will be your decision. Bubba, what's the last case we have?
All rise as judge and jury on the King's Council. We're trying to find out how long and how quickly do you stop fornicating when your Prince Damon wants to make an important statement? How quickly do you do it? How long do you stop? How quickly do you stop doing it? And how long do you stop doing it? What's the best way to stop doing it when your prince wants to make a important statement? Counselor Catfish.
Your Honor. It's very simple. You know, the way you support your boss is to by keep doing your job and doing it well. So I say you do not stop, but all you do is you continue quietly with reverential thrusts.
Reverential thrusts.
Reverential thrusts. Yeah. You know what? Just because the boss wants me to keep doing my job. So I'm going to do it quietly.
Your Honor, I completely disagree. Now, in this episode, the person there in the brothel did this best they could, but they forgot one important step.
What is that?
They needed to take their partner and completely turn 180 so they could face the prince as he made this important announcement. To not face the prince when he makes this important announcement, but instead kind of be looking over your shoulder, it's disrespectful. And so when your king talks to you, you look him in the eye. That's what I say. The defense rests.
Wow. All right. So this is what you need to vote for. Just to make it clear, neither of your choices is stopping. One of them is flipping your partner around in some acrobatic move, and the other one is just quietly continuing. So it's our listeners will decide. It's very important.
How many listeners
case.
We still have after this court case,
exactly,
we will not know.
Exactly. Well, Bubba, as we tell all our listeners, hit us up on our social media at @PHQ across all social channels. Well, exactly, how can they hit you up, Bubba?
Well, you can hit me up at, well, before.
No, I know, but just tell them right now how they can hit you up.
You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And awesome, you can hit me up, Catfish, at CJGman67 on Twitter. And on the gram, you can hit me up at G to the man, GEETOTHEMAN. So we want lots of feedback. We love to share feedback. And at the end, the end of this season of House of the Dragon on the Joffrey podcast.
Oh, yes.
At Soldier Field, we will be giving out some prizes to our listeners. And to register for those prizes, you need to hit us up. You need to leave a comment on YouTube. You need to tweet at us. You need to retweet us. And Bubba, even though we are doing this immediately, we got some feedback already. And who is it from?
Well, we got a bunch on Twitter. Our good friend, our true double L loyal listener, David Gobert, Grumpy Gobert 451, sent us a picture of a 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon from California, a bottle that is themed and labeled House of the Dragon Wine. Ooh, does this look great? David, we're so glad you're back.
Love it. Looks Grumpy very, very dark red. And I hope, Grumpy Gobert, you actually bought that and have drank it
through
the premiere.
Heck yeah, yeah, yeah. We got this feedback on YouTube from The Evil Empire, which reads, and it was talking about our post-premiere podcast, where he wrote, when you're talking about no characters being a white knight, for me personally, Damon and his dragon are my favorite from the book. And I find gray characters more interesting than 100% noble character. So at least I know Damon is represented well. And I made the comparison, in his opinion, he thinks Damon is like Tyrion and Jaime as one character who could be kind of really gray and very interesting. So I agree, The Evil Empire, that's a good call.
I love it. I love it. And we got some feedback from Glyph saying, I imagine some self-proclaimed clever market employee thought this would be a good idea, that is having us at the premiere, and is now regretting inviting you to. And my reply to this was, you mean former clever marketing employee.
We got another bit of feedback of somebody who loves Damon. It's from The Dark Op Z. And he just wrote, he's on Team Damon. So, wow, people who love these books, who've already read them, they know their favorite character, and it is the Rogue Prince Damon.
Love it. And then we got something from someone who calls himself Naked Golfer or herself Naked Golfer.
Heck yeah.
How many courses have they been kicked off of? Nobody knows. But they say they are boycotting this prequel to Bridgerton. So they may be a little confused about what they're watching. No. There you go.
Hey, we've been reaching out all podcast long because we want you guys on this journey with us. We covered all of Game of Thrones. There are all those past podcasts where we get ridiculously silly and have a lot of fun. But the only way we can do it is because we have great listeners like you. Please subscribe, follow us, comment, and talk to us. We're going to have a fun journey through these 10 episodes of House of the Dragon.
Holy cow, I am so excited, Bubba. Because for me, this is a new story, and hopefully it will just remain a new story, not leaking to the old story. I'm so excited. Bubba, we are back and better than ever, just like Joffrey is, better than ever.
And doing we will better talk than
to
ever.
You, yet better than ever. We will talk to you next week on
The Joffrey of Podcasts. It's not going to get any smoother.
It's like two drunk maesters.
So when we do this podcast, I want you to turn your partner and face the podcast.
I'm telling mother.